That's 1-800-790-5711.
Dan Celia.
I want to be a nation that is on the biblical principles and the values and the ethics that are found in Scripture.
Your personal economy.
Financial issues that you need to know.
Aligning reality with truth.
Well, I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the founding fathers.
Now, here's your host, Dan Celia.
Good morning. Welcome back to Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia. Hey, it's great to be here. 844-707-5533. Always appreciate being here. What a blessing and what a gift it is that God has allowed me to be here as we work hard at His ministry. So we're very thankful. Hey, I got a call. Didn't go on the air, but somebody called Darlene. Edward from Georgia called. And he made a very good point. He asked me this, and he said, you know, let people know where you are with your campaign and your studio and all that. And you know what? I don't do that. I don't know why I don't do that. Don't ask me. Probably because the whole thing is kind of out of the box for me. So I'm not good at it. Fortunately, I'm not good at it in the sense then God has blessed us. We've only done this one other time. So I apologize for that. So we're about, first of all, the studio is doing great. I would suspect that maybe next week I'll be broadcasting from my own set in the studio. It's going to look very familiar to you. It's going to look similar to my other set, but we'll be back there broadcasting from the studio. That's our hope. The studio is, we've got a couple of very big things to do yet. One of them is lighting, which is expensive. We got special guys come in to do that, the studio lighting for different sets that we're doing. So we have to have that done. The construction is finished. We're moved in. All our producers, everybody's in there. So it's come a long way. We are going to finish definitely, I would say within I'll say by the end of January, we'll be 100%. And we're not going to stop. Right now, we are about 87,000 short of what we had hoped to raise. So we have done wonderfully. So we're about 87,000 dollars short. Somebody asked me that question. I'm not saying that as, you know, woe is me. I probably to a point of doing harm, I want to be brutally honest. If we don't get another nickel, nothing's going to change. We are going to get this thing finished because God has given us a cushion going in there. We didn't set out to raise the full amount of the money that we needed because we'd already had some money set aside. So we're going to be fine because of all of you, because of all of you and your faithfulness over the years. But we are going to be over the fundraising goal. We're going to be about 87,000 short. Now, 87,000, when you think of, if you were to think of just partners alone, it's really nothing. I mean, we're talking about nothing per partner. But, $10, I don't know, $15, I don't even know if it's that much, whatever it is. But it isn't much. So, we're very excited. Is it a little disappointing? Yeah, I'm not so much disappointed. I shouldn't say that. I'm a little shocked. It's helped me reevaluate some thinking in some areas. About the future and what we might want to do or need to do. But you know, it is what it is, and we are very, very grateful to our Lord first. This has been a all of this has been a gift from God, and we're very excited about it. I can't wait to show you all the studio. We'll try to do some, you know, walk around on air. Maybe we'll have somebody out there show, you know, lighting up some of the other sets and such. That probably won't be to the end of the month. We get everything finished, but end of January. So that's where we stand right now. I'm only going by what has happened in the last couple of months and say that it's not likely we're going to get that. Is it impossible? Not in God's. God is, if you don't know anything about God, you know from Scripture, He is the great multiplier. And so, you know, we'll see where His will takes us. But it's not as if He hasn't blessed us in a powerful way. So we're very excited. And thank all of you for that. But Edward from Georgia asked that I give a little update. So I'll try to do that again on Friday just to kind of see where we are and update you again next week when we come back. So thank you, Edward. I appreciate that, and I apologize for it. 844-707-5533. Listen, I'm concerned about the Ag Report more than ever. I think farmers are taking another blow coming from Japan. I will talk about that at the top of the next hour, what's happening with Japan. But it looks like the ag community is going to take a hit if President Trump doesn't do anything. And I think there's a little he can do at this point. We have to pay close attention to Craig Haugert, our ag reporter, and what's going on with ag commodities. Here's Craig right now.
This is Craig Haugert with your Financial Issues Ag Update. Well, the futures market closed early on Monday, and they were closed yesterday and reopened at 8:30 Central Time this morning. Coupled the reduced trading hours with the government shutdown, we end up with very little to talk about. Until the government reopens, we're not going to be getting the export sales reports, ethanol crush numbers, cash livestock updates, as well as a number of other reports. But I'm pretty confident we're going to do just fine without them. The last time we traded corn, the market seemed to gravitate towards unchanged. The stories driving the market are unchanged from last week. Ethanol profitability is dependent on exports, so all eyes will remain focused on China. Without government reports, rumors in the market may take on greater influence, which could bring more volatility to the markets. If my math is correct, I find it interesting that the open border folks are willing to shut down the government over a requested budget item that amounts to 0.011% of the entire proposed budget. Tuesday's shortened session in soybeans closed close to unchanged. With all eyes on China, it was interesting to note that in November, China imported 5.07 million metric tons of soybeans, with none of it coming from the United States. The scary part is that this was down 3.6 million metric tons from what they imported in November of 2017. And of course, the fear is that as a result of the trade wars, they may have reduced their protein demand so that even after trade relations are restored, we may be seeing reduced soybean demand going forward. In Monday's shortened session, we had Chicago wheat a couple of cents higher, while Kansas City and Minneapolis were both a quarter cent on either side of unchanged. The cash markets are quiet, and without export demand, there's very little to move this market higher. We're not seeing any substantial weather threats in either the United States or Russia. The U.S. does seem fairly priced versus Russian wheat, so at this point, it seems like it's a waiting game to see if we can start grabbing some more of that export business. Cotton futures had a real tough session on Monday as they closed down 63 points, settling at 72.55. We've now taken out the areas that I thought would provide some support, so it'll be interesting to see what happens in the markets today as we see this thing unwind a little bit. Livestock futures had a split session with cattle higher and hogs lower. February live cattle ended the session 7.5 cents higher, while January feeder cattle were 2.5 cents higher. Lean hogs were on the defensive with February lean hogs closing down 82.5 cents for the day. Class 3 milk futures slipped lower with January futures closing 11 points lower at 14.17. In cash markets, choice beef boxes were $1.52 higher at $2.1405, while selects were $2.24 higher as they settled at $2.0750. In hogs, the pork carcass values closed 73 cents higher for the day as they settled at $71.32. Now, those will be the last cash price updates we have until the government reopens. This has been Craig Helgard with your Financial Issues Ag Update. We'll be right back with more financial issues after...
The AFA Journal is the monthly magazine of the American Family Association.
The mission of the AFA Journal is to motivate people to get involved in issues around their community and around their state and nation.
We want people to go out and actually do something, to become involved in their community. People who read the journal take the magazine, they hand it to friends, they hand it to neighbors, they hand it to people at work.
If you'd like to get the AFA Journal, simply go to afajournal.org. You can sign up for a one-year free subscription.
My grandfather taught me that you should always leave a place better than you found it. That it's important to invest in the lives of your children and grandchildren, leaving them with a godly legacy they can build on. That's why I decided to set up a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation. I know that my gift will support a ministry that honors the biblical principles I hold dear, and it's a way to invest in the future of our country. The AFA Foundation also arranged for me to have a steady fixed income, so I don't have to worry in the midst of changing times.
Call the AFA Foundation today to find out how you can set up a charitable gift annuity. Just call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Our faith and values shouldn't be compromised by the way we invest. Our faith and values that we share should guide us in the way that we invest. Make sure that you are investing in companies whose policies and practices align with pro-life, pro-family values. Visit thetimothyplan.com or call for more information. Advance the kingdom in the way that you invest.
Prayers, bringing healing and providing for our needs.
The opening statement in the Constitution of the United States says this, that we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty. I don't know what part of that we don't get anymore. That was written by men who cared about this country deeply.
Financial Issues with Dan Celia.
Welcome back, Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia. It is great to be here. 844-707-5533. You know, I was just thinking, you know, so many people that we have from Texas, I would hope that you're coming to the retreat at the Gaylord Texan Hotel. I hope you're going to be there. Go to the website, financialissues.org. Click on the video there that's 1 minute, and it'll tell you how to register. It is going to be an amazing retreat. And it is a retreat, by the way. It's not a conference. It's a retreat. And I'll tell you, when you hear some of the people, and we're going to try to ask some of those people to call in here next month and give us some of that testimony, share some of that. And I hope you'll do that. But we, one of the things that we do, we're going to keep the group small. We've always done that. So we've sold out, but it's small, and we're going to keep it that way. And that's what we're doing this time. So if you are going to be there, you're going to have a time of fellowship that you can't imagine. For a small group, we have one of the best worship leaders in the country that has done retreats for everybody that I know, from David Jeremiah to, I don't know, I could go on and on and on. The list is long for a lot of years. He has been with us at every retreat. If he can't lead you into a state of worship, nobody can, and make you laugh and have fun. He is incredible. And we have been blessed to just get a live album that he did in DVD project. I hope he's going to sell it at the retreat. I don't know that he will, but that it was live, recorded this year in Jerusalem. And what a magnificent testimony to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So anyway, but he is great. Dr. Woodrow Kroll, if anybody of you remember the days of Back to the Bible, when Dr. Woodrow Kroll was president of Back to the Bible and the main teacher, oh my gosh. And you will come away and say, I mean, not too many people in the country can teach through God's word like Dr. Kroll can, and we're very, very excited. Of course, he will be back with us. And so we're going to have an amazing time. I hope you'll be with us. I hope you'll get to that part of our website, and I hope that you and your spouse will make that a New Year's resolution to come, and maybe get a few other friends to come with you. And make that. So you got to go on the line, you got to make a reservation, then you got to call the hotel if you're staying there. We have a lot of people that aren't staying there, but so many people live close by. But if you're staying there, then you've got to call the hotel, and it's a magnificent place. And then next retreat, boy, we got something special planned, but I won't talk about that. Anyway, I hope you'll be there. Let me go to Gary. Gary's calling us from Tennessee. Gary? Oh boy. All right, sorry, Gary. I see. I guess you couldn't hold anymore. I apologize for that. You've been on hold a long time. If you call us, though, Gary, we'll get you right back in there. Let me go to Betty. Betty's calling us from Oregon. Hey, Betty.
Good morning and Merry Christmas. I just had a question. I've been a partner for a gazillion years now, and I'm 64 years old, going to retire in 2 years. And is it a prudent thing to consider converting the traditional IRA or a portion of it, and then I would ask what amount, to a Roth, depending on where I am in the tax bracket? And I've taken quite a beating. I'm down about 70K or so. And I'm just wondering, is that ever a prudent thing to do, given my age and so close to retirement? I won't need the funds right away, actually not for a number of years.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's actually a prudent thing to all...
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Betty.
Well, the other question I had along with that is, when I do turn, 70 and a half, where you can have to do your minimal distribution, I plan to do that by using that money to donate to all the, the church and different Christian organizations that I contribute to on a yearly basis. So yes. I'll use the minimum to do that per your suggestion that I've heard for years now. But so, I mean, yes. Should I consider converting that? I know I'm going to take a tax hit on it, but what do you think?
Yeah. Yes. I mean, I think you should consider doing that. And I think that what you want to do, Betty, is do it, though, gradually. So okay. Do a little bit every year. So, for instance, I would do, whatever you can do now that's not going to push you up in a higher tax bracket, that's going to, keep you pretty much where you are. And because remember, when you convert, you've got to pay tax on it. You can't avoid paying the tax. And, if you believe, I don't know how much is in there, but if you believe that when someday you retire and you have all that money and you are going to be easily able to meet your minimum required distribution by using that money to do your normal charitable giving, then I wouldn't worry about converting it. But if there is some, if you think that you are going to use this money to begin to supplement your income on a regular basis, then I would think about converting some of it. So if you think it's all going to be your charitable giving kind of pot of money that you're going to use, then I wouldn't worry about it. I would just leave alone.
So don't convert it if it's going to be used for the charitable giving, but consider converting. Correct. If it's going to be to add additional income? What usually is the percentage of that is the minimum distribution? What is that percentage?
Well, it changes every year. It's different all the time, but I can say this. It's based on how much money is in there and how old you are at the time. You know, it's a little bit less at 70 from a percentage standpoint than it will be at 75. But so I think that if you look at it from a 10% perspective, you'll be in good shape. If you think that 10% of that money, whatever that might be, or I'll say 8 to 10% of it, is going to be used for charitable giving, then I think you're okay and you don't have to worry much about the minimum required distribution.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, then that helps. And okay. All right. Thank you very much for all that you do. Like I said, I've been supporting you and a partner for a gazillion years now. In fact, I was grandfathered in with
oh wow, race, you're one anyway. Of the wow, you go you do, you do go back. Yes.
Yeah, I go back. So thank you again, and I'll just keep listening and thank you.
Great. You're welcome. Thank you, Betty. I sure appreciate your support for all those years. What Betty was referring to, we had different levels of partnership way back when. One time it was $60. One time it was $5.95 a month. So she goes back because we took those $60 folks and we kind of grandfathered them in. And the $5.95 people, we won't ever grandfather anybody back in again, because it has created a nightmare as we were growing and trying to, it was a whole nother aspect of our, income website that we had to, change and fix and have separate. It's just technical thing more than anything. But anyway, that's good news. There's Gary. Hey, Gary, you with us?
I'm here.
Hey, Gary.
How are you today?
I'm good, thank you.
Okay. Well, my wife and I and entire family would like to thank you for your ministry. And we'd also like to encourage and let you know that last month we sent you a check with a pledge for more. And we plan to pay that pledge in full the next 2 months and hopefully give you another pledge. We also encourage your listeners to use that money that he gave each of us to give to your ministry and others just like it. And you just have such a valuable ministry to not only us, but to, I'm sure, all your listeners. So it's very gratifying for myself to hear you and just love every minute of it. I wasn't going to call you after I read the commentary this morning, but then after the first person was on there, we're an income portfolio, and so I thought, well, I better
ask.
We're looking to dollar cost average on some stock positions. We are, like I said, in an income portfolio, and like to know your opinion of the company's strength of stocks FR21, E23, and TL25.
So I think they're all good. All of them are good. And certainly, I would be perfectly okay with you dollar cost averaging into those companies. I think there is a possibility, not with E20. Did you say 23? E23, right?
E23. Yeah.
So not necessarily with E23, but with the other two that you mentioned, that they're still going to struggle a little bit longer. But again, I think good time to be dollar cost averaging in as an income portfolio investor, because obviously the more shares you have, the better your income's going to be. So
I would not have a problem with doing that, Gary.
I was just worried that they might be in financial straits.
Being a business owner or entrepreneur can feel lonely. Unless your friends have walked the same path, they just don't understand your passion. How many times have you been asked, when are you going to get a real job? And when you finally do make it big, all of a sudden the doubters tell you they always knew you would. Does this sound familiar? You see, at BizBod, we understand the road you're on because we're on the same path. That's why we created a club just for you. Meet other people on the same path you're on and get content that will help you grow your business. All for only $49.95 a year. And if you join today, you can get your first 30 days free with promo code RADIO. This is a limited time offer, so try it for free, and who knows, you might be able to help other members. Simply go to bizbod.com and enter promo code RADIO.
It may have been a messy divorce that suddenly cut your income in half, but not your bills. It might have been an injury or illness or your boss just cutting back your hours. It doesn't really matter how you got in over your head. It only matters that you are and that we're here to help. If you've got over $10,000 in credit card debt and you can't ever see breaking free, then call Action Debt and do it now. Being in over your head is a vicious cycle. One day late, they charge you a late fee. Miss a payment, they double your rate. You just don't think it's fair, and neither do we. This is not bankruptcy or just a simple rate reduction plan. We fight for you using our proven experience in the insider programs that credit card companies try to hide. If you owe at least $10,000 to the credit card companies, you owe it to yourself to call Action Debt at 800-384-7099. Just because you got in over your head doesn't mean you have to stay there forever. Call 800-384-7099 today, and we can be on your side tomorrow. 800-384-7099. 800-384-7099.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
FlightPro.com.
Welcome back. Financial Issues, 844-707-5533. We've got lines open. We're going to go to phones. 844-707-5533. If you want to queue your call up, you might want to do that right now. 844-707-5533, and we will get to those calls. So we've got another hour and a half left. So lines are open. Now would be a good time to cue your call. 844-707-5533. Okay, somebody asked me on YouTube a little bit ago. No, it wasn't on YouTube. Was it? Maybe it was. Yes, it was on YouTube. Somebody mentioned that... Oh, the GoFundMe page. They were talking about the GoFundMe page. Yeah, it has reached $17 million. Wow, we're trying to raise a little bit of money, a pittance compared to that. But the YouTube page that the veteran started for the wall, you know, their goal is to get to $1 billion. They got a long way to go, but they're up to $17 million.
So, boy, pretty amazing of what's going on. And the goal is that that money would be given to the Treasury Department to help fund the cost of the wall. So pretty neat effort. Somebody else is asking me, Susie's asking me about a charitable gift annuity. So they have an inherited IRA, and they wanted to get this in a charitable gift annuity. Is there any way, the question is there any way she can get that out and put it where it's safer? Unfortunately, you only have one option, Susie, and that is to close the account. You have the right to do that. You have a right to close the account, but all the taxes will have to be paid on it. If you're under 59 and a half, it won't matter. There's no penalty, but you'll still have to pay the taxes for the person that you inherited from. And I don't know what the tax rate will be, but unfortunately, you would have to pay those taxes. Then take the balance of that money, whatever is going to be left after taxes, and then put that into a charitable gift annuity for and to receive that income for the rest of your life. So that's what you would have to do. Unfortunately, there is no other options in order to do that. Not just because it's an inherited IRA. That's got nothing to do with it. This would be the same rule for any IRA. So that's just the way it is. So anyway, Susie, hopefully that helps you a little bit. Wish there were a better way of doing that. There just isn't. But certainly, if you don't want to do that, you might want to contemplate doing a reallocating that portfolio to an income portfolio where you're receiving income every month from it. And that might be something that you want to pray about and consider as well. Let me go to Chris. Chris is calling us from Texas. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Dan. Good morning. Good talking with you.
Good morning.
Thanks. I have a two-part question. The first one is we're retired. Our nest egg is our 401k, and we are very concerned about what's going on in the market and all the turbulence of the last 3 months. And you mentioned this morning that 85% of the selling is computer selling, and that really concerns somebody like me because I know the fundamentals, as you've explained very well, are so strong right now in the economy, unemployment, everything, all the numbers look so good, corporate earnings, but yet we have this computer selling, 85% of the selling, generating these huge losses. Could you explain how that works and why isn't somebody investigating that or doing something to stop that? Because that just doesn't make sense to me.
Yes. Well, it doesn't make sense to me in the sense either that, first of all, I talked about this some time ago. I might have even been on a conference call. I mentioned it, but the SEC's got to step in and get involved in at least having some circuit breakers. They call that into the market. We used to have a whole lot of those, and they've done away with the SEC. That is, has done away with a lot of them. So, in other words, if a stock was dropping dramatically, there would be a circuit breaker that would be tripped. And no more selling could be done until there was an uptick movement on that stock. If there started to be some buying in that stock for a certain period or certain amount, then they would take the circuit breaker, would go off, and they would be able to sell again. But if they sold again too much, it would trip the circuit breaker again, and they would have to wait for a period of time. So that's just a small example of what a circuit breaker is, and that dramatically slows down the selling or the buying too. By the way, it would dramatically slow it down. Well, what good is that? Because slowing it down would allow a human element to come in and address what, you know, what's going on here. Is there a underlying fundamental reason why this is happening? You know, is the company declaring bankruptcy? Is the international market that this is a company that deals primarily with just the small country of XYZ company country, and that country is in big trouble now with currency, and that is create, you know, they'd be able to enter some evaluation, and analytics would be able to come into it. Well, that's gone right now. So what's happening right now is there is this, these computers have algorithms that are established. Now, the algorithms are established by individuals, by people, but there are certain things. That would initiate the selling. So when the selling gets to a certain level, because people normally are selling because they're concerned about one thing or another, then it will trip a certain algorithm that will get more selling, and that goes down to the next lower element of algorithms, and the selling continues. That gets to the algorithm, say, in ETFs in particular, and now they, whether they want to or not, have to sell. It's bad for the ETF fund. It's bad for some of the stocks as well, but it's bad for even the funds and the people that own those funds. But nonetheless, something, the only thing that can stop it, and it's not going to stop it, but can slow it down to get things a little bit more reasonable, is the SEC. And the SEC is going to have to step in and do something about it. Will they? It's not looking like it. But we'll see. The rapid pace in which this selling is done is astronomical. So a person in a brokerage can sell, you know, millions and millions of shares of a company in a matter of maybe 2 or 3 seconds. So that's dramatically changed. And frankly, there are many people, including myself, that are saying, I don't think it's going to change. In other words, I think the volatility is going to be around for a long time. Does that mean we shouldn't be in the markets? Only if the volatility is creating so much anxiousness that you can't sleep at night and it's causing great pain. If you are a long-term investor, like I hope you are and everybody else listening is, that, or at least all my partners are, then it becomes, yes, it's a little unnerving. There's no doubt about it. But at the same time, we've got to take a position of it doesn't matter. It is.
Who can find a virtuous wife? She's worth far more than rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her. She brings him good and not evil all the days of her life. She's like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it's still night and provides food for her family. She extends her hand to the poor. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Charm is deceptive, and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised.
Person. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home, and you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home, as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-670-2142. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-670-2142. 800-670-2142. That's 800-670-2142.
942.
Not bank with a trusted partner that shares your values and beliefs. Christian Community Credit Union. Your money building God's kingdom.
The opinions and recommendations expressed by Dan are his own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of this station or any of the show's sponsors.
Welcome back. Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia. It's great to be here. 844-707-5533. If you want to queue your call up, you're welcome to do it. Our lines are open. I was talking to Chris from Texas. So, Chris, sorry about that. I got a little carried away there on that computer selling, but, I don't think it's anything we ought to worry about to ask you answer your question more directly. It is concerning, yes, but in the long run, we've got to stay the course and we've got to maintain our strategy.
Okay, thanks, Dan. I really appreciate that. That was helpful. And the second part of my question relates to SIPC coverage through the investment firms. If you could explain that to us a little bit and how that and contrast that with FDIC protection on a CD, please.
Yeah, it does. It doesn't really compare to FDIC to a certain extent. So brokerage coverage will cover investments to a certain extent that brokerage company owns, which is probably not very many in your portfolio. And it would cover that, but it only covers it if the brokerage company in and of itself goes bankrupt. The likelihood of that happening are very slim. It's not going to help, obviously, no more than FDIC would. It doesn't help in a falling environment or something like that. It just is an added protection, I guess I'll say, under a catastrophic economic event. So it's not a bad thing because, you'll hear sometimes me say to people, and they say, well, I'm looking for, I see a bank online, it's XYZ Bank, it's an online bank, have you ever heard of it? I say, no, I've never heard of it, it's probably a small bank, just maybe they're just getting started or whatever, looking for deposits, they're paying 4% on a CD, do you think I ought to do it? Is it FDIC insured? Now, I don't care about the insurance from a protection standpoint, but if they are FDIC insured, it tells me that they had to go through a lot of accountability and jump through a lot of hoops from a financial perspective and are properly regulated by the Banking Commission under the same rules and regulations that everybody else is. So it tells me that it's not a scam. They're not, you know, there is some merit to that, that they are, they do have obviously the strength, at least as the FDIC would see them. And, you know, it's an okay thing. So I say that it's always good to see those things because it does give you from a financial perspective the fact that there are certain accountability that from a regulatory burden standpoint that the organization has to go through.
Okay. That's very helpful. I appreciate it very much, Dan. Happy New Year, and let's hope 2019 is a good year for all of us.
Thank you for that, Chris. I sure appreciate it. God bless you. Thank you. 844-707-5533. Let me go to Carlo. Carlo's calling us from Arkansas. Hey, Carlo.
Hey, good morning, Dan. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Good. At the beginning of the year, I became biblically responsible with a fund that I inherited from my grandmother and sold all the American funds at your advice. And I have bought a lot of Timothy funds. And most of my Timothy funds have just taken a really hard hit this year, and especially the past few weeks. What do you think is going on with that? And can you help me kind of see what I need to do as far as staying in there? I know you believe in the long run, and so do I. I really can't sell right now. I've lost quite a bit. So do you know anything about what's going on with Timothy?
Yeah, well, I would say this about every fund company. Somebody called me earlier about Vanguard. Last week, I got a lot of calls about Fidelity for some reason. And I would say the same thing that I said to them. When we have an environment that we are now, particularly in mutual funds, all the ships have gone down. So it doesn't matter. What I told, like I said to the caller earlier about Vanguard, don't get out. You know, this has been what we have seen in the last week. I won't say this about the last month, but the last week for certain, it has been, or the last week and a half, it's been a very broad-based sell-off. Now, we hope that the buy-in and the increase is a broad-based uptick as well. So it's not something that we as long-term investors ought to be concerned about. It isn't the fault of Vanguard, as I said to their caller, or the Fidelity, and I would say the same to you. It's got little, 95% of the time, well, I'm going to say 90% of the time, it's got little to do with the funds that you're in. Like someone just called me about some stocks, financial stocks, that were on my list, and they were just concerned that there's nothing going on with the company. No, they're just caught up like everybody else, very much in a broad-based selling situation. Now, in individual stocks, it's a little bit easier, I would say, well, I'd probably say a lot more easier, to pinpoint, you know, why the sell-off might be if there is something specifically wrong going on. Let's say an oil stock. Well, oil companies are getting killed right now as oil prices continue to drop. So they're all suffering from the same problem, and that is concern as to what it might be doing to their bottom line of the company, thereby impacting the, you know, the value of the stock. So, but is it something to be concerned about? No. Timothy's not something to, there may be in February or early next year, I'm just making up a month, that we rearrange some of that. And then at that time I'd say, hey, I would go from maybe
Timothy XYZ to Timothy ABC because it might be a better, it might be a little bit of a quicker recovery. Or I might say I would go from Vanguard, you know, ABC to Vanguard XYZ because of recovery notion. I wouldn't say that right now about any of them. All I would say is it is extremely important to do one thing for sure. And this goes to everybody that has a mutual fund, whether it's a biblically responsible mutual fund or not. Everybody, and because this speaks to a lot of 401ks, please don't get out. It's the worst thing you could possibly do. Ask anybody that did it in 2008. Ask anybody that did it February when the market crashed big time and everybody panicked. There was a lot of that going on. It's not the time. It's not the time to get out. By any stretch. That's number one. Number two is if you want to do something that could be helpful to you down the road with a particular, and this goes for mutual funds and bonds more so than even equities, but the best thing you could do is to add more money to it. Well, I don't want to add more money to it. Well, you might not feel comfortable doing that because it's down. So you can add more money when it goes up and buy in high again so that when it goes down even hurts even more. But, you know, I know it's counterintuitive for people to be putting money in. That's what makes great traders and great investors, because they're taking opportunity in this for this moment. I know I am, and I'm sure a lot of other people are, to be thinking about that. So I'm not concerned about any, at least the mutual funds that I've been called about, the Vanguards, the Fidelities, the Timothys, you know, any, I don't know of any that I've gotten a call about. There are some that are maybe, not going to track well with the market, but most of those are sector funds. So I'm not worried. And I think that, remember, you got in when the markets were doing well. They were higher than they are now. Now they're lower. And that's what we do. So when they go lower, we try to put a little more money in if we can. If we can't, then we hang in there and ride it up until we can.
Okay. Thank you so much. And also, I wanted to ask you real quick if one particular company is biblically responsible, if I could.
Okay.
That's Alaska Airlines. It's...
Yes, it is.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yes,
have a
they are. Alaska Airlines
okay.
is.
Okay. Great. Have a blessed New Year
okay.
And just keep doing the good work. Mm.
Thank you, Carla. Hang in there. I sure appreciate it, and thank you for that. Yeah, Alaska Airlines, a good stock. I want to tell everybody, that reminds me, folks, that now on our website at financialissues.org, if you go there, you don't have to be a partner. If you go to financialissues.org, you can click right in the top right-hand corner. You can click on, you know, share screen your investment, and you can click on that and put in Alaska Airlines or put in the symbol for Alaska Airlines, better yet, or if you have a mutual fund, you can click on mutual funds and put in the symbol of that mutual fund, and it will tell you whether it's biblically responsible or not. So it's a great tool. We thank Evaluator, great organization. Started by the Timothy Plan, using all of their staff that they use to screen to come up with a great system. So we sure appreciate that. Folks, if you've got a run right now, I hope you have a wonderful day. And a lot of you still on vacation, I hope you enjoy the rest of it. And I hope you'll be back tomorrow. Have a blessed day. Remember, all that you have is His. Let's be good and faithful stewards. God bless. More Financial Issues right after this.
on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com.
This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk, online at biztalkradio.com.